Hello and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time in our studies, we are looking at those events from the resurrection to the ascension. And today we are going to look as Jesus appears to the apostles the last time. Our text will come from Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now Luke 24, verse 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." In Acts chapter 1, now let's note verses 1 through 8. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So, of course, Acts chapter 1, as we go back to verse 1 now, begins with the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now we call to mind the fact that the book of Acts is the continuation of the book of Luke. Luke and Acts were both addressed to Theophilus. These writings of Luke were to help us to know for certain the things concerning Jesus. In fact, Luke chapter 1 verse 4 says that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. We can know the things we are about to consider are truth indeed. Let's consider the infallible proofs. Notice verses 2 and 3. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now Luke begins the book of Acts with a reminder. Notice verse 1 that his gospel described the things Jesus both did and taught. And in verse 2 we see that it covered the events leading up to his ascension. And verse 3 points out that there were many infallible proofs of his resurrection. And our faith is based upon the many infallible proofs of the resurrection. But what are these infallible proofs? Well, first off, we have the eyewitness accounts. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in Mark 16, verses 9 to 11, and John 20, verses 11 to 18. Jesus appeared to the other women in the same verses above also. Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Mark 16, verses 12 and 13, and Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. Jesus appeared to Peter in Luke 24, verses 33 to 35. Jesus appeared to the apostles without Thomas in Luke 24, verses 36 to 43, and John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. He also then appeared to the apostles with Thomas present in John 20, verses 26 to 31. Jesus appeared to the disciples by the sea in John 21, verses 1 through 25. And he appeared to over 500 brethren at once, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 6. Jesus appeared to James, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 7. Jesus appeared to the apostles in Luke 24, verses 44 to 49. And Jesus appeared to those present at his ascension, Mark 16, verses 19 through 20. Luke 24, verses 50 to 53, and Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. The many infallible proofs are also shown in the testimony of the disciples. They were at first skeptical, but they believed when presented with the evidence. They saw, heard, and touched him. They ate and drank with him. They saw Jesus individually and in groups. Consider the changes made in their lives. Prior to the resurrection, they were afraid and without hope. And after the resurrection, they were fearless in their proclaiming of the gospel. Their changed and transformed lives were certainly one of the great infallible proofs. They would live holy lives and teach others to do the same. They suffered greatly for the cause and even gave their very lives. Who would do such for a hoax or a lie? Jesus gave his disciples many proofs. He appeared to them many times during 40 days. Now back to our text. In verses 4 and 5, let's consider the promise of the Father. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave his apostles instructions. They were not to depart from Jerusalem, and they were to wait for the promise of the Father. God promised the Holy Spirit, and this was not a new promise. In fact, the Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament. Joel prophesied that he would be poured out on all flesh. Notice Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Others also, like Isaiah in chapter 44 and verse 3, Ezekiel in chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, and Zechariah in chapter 12 and verse 10. John the Baptist spoke of one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3:11. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be a helper and presence for the apostles, according to John 14, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit would bring them to remembrance all things, John 14, verse 26. The preaching and actions of the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit directly in the early days of the church and through the complete inspired word today. Christians today that walk after the Spirit in the manner of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, will avoid the lust of the flesh and instead produce fruits of the Spirit in their lives. What a blessed gift to man when God sent His Holy Spirit as gift or promise to man. Now, as we come to verse 6 in our text, we point toward the restored kingdom. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority. We find the apostles ask a question of Jesus. Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus told them that it was not for them to know the times or seasons in verse 7. He said, It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority. It is unlikely that, with as much teaching as the Lord had given them, that the disciples were still mistaken about the nature of the kingdom. They likely knew by now it was a spiritual kingdom, and that they were only asking as to the time. Now, many people do not believe they understood it was spiritual, but I believe they did. The kingdom would be restored by Jesus, but it was not an earthly kingdom, for it is far better and permanent. The restored kingdom was promised in the Old Testament. God promised David to establish His kingdom forever, 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 16. God promised through Daniel to establish His kingdom forever, Daniel 2 and verse 44. And also through the 89th Psalm and other places. The New Testament proclaims that restored kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 30 to 36, among numerous places. Let's read that. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. for David did not ascend into the heavens. But he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The kingdom that is proclaimed by Jesus is a restored kingdom. It is the fulfillment of promises to David and Israel, in which a descendant of David now reigns over spiritual Israel. But the restored kingdom is even better. The reign of the Son of David is not just over the house of Israel, but includes Gentiles as well. It is not limited to the land of Israel, but in heaven and on earth. It is not physical, but spiritual. And finally, those apostles would be witnesses for Christ. "But you wrote, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The apostles were literally witness to the miracles, wonders, signs, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Though the term often used today is well-intentioned, we can witness in the way the apostles and those of the first century did. The apostles were to be witnesses for Christ. They would bear witness to the resurrection of Christ. They would bear witness to his life. They would bear witness to the fact that he said he would come again. And others, like Stephen, would bear witness of Jesus also. And though we are not the eyewitnesses, we have these accounts. And yes, because of that, we can bear witness to the Christ. The teaching of the apostles and others upon whom they laid hands were approved by Jesus to spread his word. The apostles were given the Holy Spirit to direct them and give them power. And now we have that revealed word, and it is powerful. In fact, it is the power of God unto salvation. We can have faith in Jesus Christ. We can tell of him like those apostles did so many years ago. And so Jesus appeared this last time. Next time we're together, if the Lord wills, we will consider the ascension of our Lord and Savior to heaven. I hope you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at this same time in the PM. And also posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.